Dr. Bob Schutz, Dr. Atira Charles, they're with us today to help us through what could easily be described as a stressful time of year. While we are all living with stressful circumstances, it's been quite a ride of late, so we're going to take some time and help us all kind of sort through all of that. You don't want to miss it. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, we are back and we're ready to talk with you at length about important stuff, you know, for your good, for your welfare. And so it happens that we have people in our community, our beloved Tallahassee, who spend their entire lives, it seems to me, professionally speaking, focused on the needs of others, especially when it comes to helping us through personal issues, relationship issues, and just dealing with life as it comes at us. And is it fair to say that certainly a more stressful time in our history as a nation, I think. And here we are in, you know, October as we march on into the holiday season we so fondly refer to. And yet expectations are high for supply of goodness to one another. You know, we all get into the sharing and the giving and the, yeah, the gift giving and the buying and all that, you know, and the parties and the gatherings of various kinds. Well, okay, so as if being shut down and pushed away and backed off isn't enough, now the question is whether or not there will actually be any, you know, pumpkin pie filling on the shelf. So we're going to have to be creative here, aren't we? I guess so. So it seems to me we are well served in enlisting the goodness of people like Dr. Atira Charles, a frequent guest, as you recall. And this, again, being our 10th anniversary, yay us, we are bringing to you conversations we've had over the course of that 10 years. And I don't know, I don't feel 10 years older. I don't feel like I know less. You know, what is that old thing about the more I learn, the more I have to remember, and the more I have to remember, the more I forget. So the more I learn, the less I know. Something like that. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm just trying to piece it all together as we go along. But fortunately for you and I, we have Dr. Atira Charles and we have Dr. Bob Schutz, both of them going to be with us here throughout today's broadcast. And on that note, let me remind you that if you're a fan of the show, thank you. You can subscribe to the podcast if that's your modus operandi of preference, if you would rather, you know, kind of take it as it occurs to you when it's convenient for you. It's kind of the way we live these days, where everything's on demand. So I'm there at your demand. Just subscribe to the podcast, my friend, and you're in good shape. There's lots of ways to do that, of course, whatever your podcast app may be. For those of you who are not into that whole scene, you can go to the website. TallahasseeTalks.com has its full complement of shows covering the course of 10 years. And you can easily scan through stuff if you care to, or you can search on a topic or a guest, and it's there just for you. And there's a audio player built into the site. So, yeah, you don't even have to go anywhere else. Just you hit play and you're good to go. Sit back, relax, and enjoy one of those fine broadcasts from our history. Of late, we've been fortunate to have, I think, not just those from our days gone by, but some of the folks that have joined us of late have been even more in tune with what's going on locally. Some of you had a chance to listen to the conversation I had last week, and with our dear friend Mike with Pedicabs, Mike Goldstein, who Capital City Pedicabs business has done remarkably well, considering all of the many ways in which that business has had to battle through, you know. And now he's talking, you know, follow Mike's Facebook page. If you don't, you should, because you learn a lot from this guy. He's pretty simple in his approach to life, doesn't complicate things. He just kind of calls it as he sees it, which, you know, annoys the heck out of some people. They don't like that. But I can think of several noted local community leaders, you know, commissioners and civic leaders of various kinds that kind of play it that same way. They just, you know, they just kind of roll the dice and gets them in, you know, in trouble, I guess, or get some people irritated with them. But I'm kind of liking that. I would rather you just tell me. You know, now I get a little weary of all the personal attacks. And that, I mean, don't we all get a little, come on. So if somebody gets called out, well, you know, you can't say that because you're a jerk. Okay. Well, how about we just stay to the topic O'Day, topic at hand, and say, okay, what is the substance here of the concern, and get away from all of the, yeah, back and forth on that. But come on, I mean, it's a small town. It is still, my friend, a small town. A lot of people in it, yes, but it is a small town, and it will likely remain a small town regardless. I mean, in the event that we are able to knit together the various segments of our community, that would be remarkable. That would be a major advancement, and I think we've done some of that work, but we have a lot more to do. And I'll tell you where I'm coming from on that. You've heard me talk ad nauseum about the plantation mindset, and it really affects us all at a very, very subtle, I think, oftentimes very fundamental way, that we just don't think outside of and don't go beyond the confines of our day-to-day. And you said, well, what, I mean, that doesn't make us different, particularly as a community. Aren't all communities that way? Well, sure. All communities have rich and poor and in between. All communities have districts and boroughs and segments and all that sort of thing. I grew up in the Seattle area. Yeah, there's plenty of that. But, you know, the people who live in Ballard over there in the Seattle area and the people who live in Capitol Hill, they kind of mix, and they're aware of one another. And so there's a kind of congress, I guess you'd say, or a homogeneity that kind of works to their advantage. And here, I guess, when I look at people celebrating something, let's say, in the Frenchtown area, you know, or we've got the John G. Reilly Museum. Now, they're slated for this massive statewide conference that's coming up in December. We'll talk more about that later. But it begs the question, how many of us really know anything about Mr. or Dr. Reilly? He was actually the first, I believe he was a headmaster for Lincoln Academy, which went on, of course, to become Lincoln High School. our friend Jim Bellamy, a graduate of, as are many. But my point here is simply that if you look beyond what that little confine represents, well, it goes both ways. So I have to think in terms of more than my immediate circumstance. So I tend to come up against this idea that, well, this is our thing, this is us, and this is what we do, and it's really not of any importance to the rest of the community. You know, again, I live on this little plantation over here in my mind, and it's not a conscious thing, I don't think. I don't think anybody purposely sets out to avoid others. Maybe they do. But I think in most cases, we simply pass one another on the street, and we don't take advantage of who we really are.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You know that we are directly and decidedly involved in the Tallahassee Prepared campaign for 21 and 22. This annual year-long effort is designed to keep you and I best prepared for severe weather, because it's not a season, it's an attitude. That is our slogan, at least one of those slogans that we've kind of hung our hat on. It happens because I have sponsors like Witten Glass and Truck and Car Concepts, names that should be very familiar to you if you've hung out with me for any length of time. Tony Kelly Heating and Air, Mahan Animal Clinic, and Capital City Gutter. These are companies that have taken their precious hard-earned dollars and helped fund the effort to make sure that everybody is getting the information they need. There is an official website, TallahasseePrepared.com, where you can go for all kinds of resource, whether you're looking for an emergency contact number, if you are looking for help with a given challenge in your life. Maybe it's kids, maybe it's pets, it could be your house or your business, could be things like soil erosion. Dealing with severe weather is not relegated to any one type of weather. And now, of late, of course, we're having an Indian summer here, and it's a beautiful time of year, and the weather has been sparkling, we'd say. Of course, everything can never be happy, but everything is drying out, so we're probably running our sprinklers a lot more than we'd expected. But that is also time when we tend to become a little bit more complacent or less mindful of. Yeah, because, you know, of late we've had some severe thunderstorms and the very high humidity and the heat from summer. All of that is right there, kind of in the waiting, and can come back to get us. So the best way of preparing for that is to stay informed and to stay mindful of not just weather conditions, but what kinds of services are available to you. Well, that's where this website comes in, TallahasseePrepared.com. It is called, and it's got tons of useful information, things about carpet and flooring care, right? So moisture is the worst enemy to any flooring material. And by the way, Sellers here in town is one of our sponsors for this campaign, 2021 and 2022. So when you talk to the folks at Sellers, they can give you some direct advice, referring to the idea that moisture is, number one, the worst enemy of flooring. Here's a few precautions that they recommend. You can put weather protectant or protection sealant around basement windows and at the base of ground level doors. Good idea. You can install drainage for downspouts. And there we go with gutters. We've got Capital City Gutters standing by to help you. That is a sufficient distance from your residence to ensure that the water moves away from the building. Consider installing a sump pump if you need to. With a zero reverse flow capability. And that would occur in basement floor drains, right? Even if you have not experienced visible flooding at your home or at your business, ground moisture, including that occurs from extreme humidity, there we go, can reach your flooring, especially if you have a crawl space under your house or a place of business. So be on the lookout for signs of dampness, particularly around baseboards. You can check your carpet pad. If the carpet pad is spongy, well, it may have absorbed a lot of water. Guess what? It's best to remove the pad and replace it. And carpet pad, for that matter, is relatively inexpensive. So that's good news for all of us who just kind of cringe when we think about having to do something like that. It can be heavy to carry if it's full of water, so you might need to cut it up into small, manageable pieces. Now, all of this information that I'm providing you is coming right off of the Tallahassee Prepared website, and we're so fortunate to have it. There are also, of course, emergency contact numbers available to you, the Florida Division of Emergency Management, over there on Schumard Oak Boulevard. That's here in Tallahassee, and there's a phone number there for you. There's links to their websites, and then, of course, we have the Leon County Emergency Management Office, and they have their own resources as well, so we've provided you links to their suggestions for a hurricane plan, as well their emergency information portal. And then there's the Red Cross Capital Area Chapter, and we want to make sure you're familiar with that. And that's especially important in regard to your pets. Because guess what? If that storm occurs and the lights go out and the thunder is crashing, does thunder crash? Or lightning crashes. Okay, sorry. You don't want to be trying to think about where you're going to put Fluffy if you have to put him at a kennel or a place where they can hold animals for you, an animal shelter. Because guess what? You won't be the only one trying to do that. So kind of map that out in advance. This is really simple stuff, but look, I mean, if you're like any of us, you're going to put this aside and you're going to say, yeah, I know. No, you're going to do this. And we're trying to make this even easier for you by having all of this stuff together. By the way, what is your emergency plan? Well, you got to make sure you have all your vital records gathered. That'll be your Social Security card, your birth certificate, your passport, any other official hard-to-replace document. You want to scan it if you can, but you certainly want to have the originals in some kind of watertight container, right? Make sure you have in your records kit your contact information, as well as those who are close to you, relatives or friends, even your employer or the executor of your estate would be a good one to include there. And what about your will and your medical directives? Yeah, it goes on and on. Again, all of this available to you. And if you choose to do so, there is a free a severe weather guide available to you at the site that you can download. and save there on your computer. Some people are printing this out and just keeping it handy in a desk drawer. Not a bad reference. And it's simply entitled Prepared Severe Weather Guide. It's available for you to download at TallahasseePrepared.com. Again, all of this brought to you by these fine sponsors, Truck and Car Concepts, Sellers Tile, Tony Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning, and our friends at Capital City Gutter, presented to you by this year's presenting sponsor, Whitten Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. And by the way, yeah, when you're dealing with high winds and flying debris, yeah, a cracked or broken window, yeah, well, that's part of the picture, isn't it? Well, remember Whitten Glass when you're in that situation. They've been doing it for over 75 years.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Dr. Bob Schutz is the founder of John Paul II Healing Center here in Tallahassee, Florida. He is a nationally renowned speaker, a presenter, and a writer. Bob recently published his first book, Be Healed, A Guide to Encountering the Powerful Love of Jesus in Your Life. It's available for purchase through their store there at the John Paul II Healing Center. Bob is a licensed marriage and family therapist and retired from private practice. During his time in practice, he integrated the teachings of St. John Paul II and the charism of healing, which he now teaches. He is married to his wife, Margie, for 39 years, and they have two married daughters and seven grandchildren. Let's welcome Dr. Schutz to our show. How are you, sir?
Good, Brian. Good to be with you.
Yeah. Nice to see you again. Now, full transparency here and disclosure, Bob and I are friends, okay? But we're those kind of Facebook friends. We're the friends that seem to show up every 10 to 12 years in one another's lives. And the meanwhile, as I've just indicated, this man stays pretty busy, so it's forgivable. But Bob and I knew each other way back, 35 years ago when we met in graduate school. Then. Yeah. And we found a common, I think it's fair to say, Bob, a common love for Jesus, a love for God, a love for people that then got funneled through this desire to bring understanding and healing and direction for people who find themselves beset with marital issues, family issues, mental health issues. Now, for those who do not know you, as I have known you, how would you describe what's happened in that 35 years from the time that you were in private practice, let's say, and kind of give us a synopsis there.
Okay.
What happened to you?
And what happened to me? Well, starting back in graduate school, as I think we were in different programs, but they were overlapping programs.
Yes, yes.
Mine was in family relations, and right. I had a real interest in the generations of the family and how those generations were influencing one generation to the next. You know, the legacy, we talk a lot these days about legacy and what's the legacy that's handed down to the next generation. Mm. And both the legacy of good things, of the blessings, so to say, but also the legacies of the hurts and the legacy of the difficulties.
Good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah. So throughout my years as a therapist, I worked with a lot of different populations, but always from that kind of framework of understanding, and also with the understanding of my Catholic faith background and just who I was as a person obviously comes into that.
Yeah, being genuine.
And over the years, I really had a pretty critical experience about 13 years into my marriage, and it was about 10 years into my practice at that point. And I was going through a very difficult time in our relationship, and mine's and Margie relationship. And having come from a family where my parents divorced, I didn't want to go down that road.
Yeah.
But I was in a lot of fear of that.
Yeah.
And that put me into a personal crisis. So that personal crisis threw me into therapy for myself for the first time. And so I got to experience what it was like on the other side, which helped shape that experience. But it also really, even though I had a faith in God before that, it really created a hunger of, you know, my profession isn't going to save me here. My knowledge of marriage and family isn't going to save our relationship here.
Right.
I need something beyond my capacity to figure this out, because it's obviously not working well. To figure it out based on all the knowledge I've had.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Here's the guy who should have all the answers, we might think.
Yeah.
And you were struggling to find those answers for yourself.
I had experience with other people and book knowledge, but there was something deeper here. I knew that the crisis was in my ability to love. And no matter how much knowledge I had, it wasn't going to teach me how to love.
Wow. So for that reason, then, the therapeutic experience, the therapy that you were receiving, was helpful? Was directive?
It was very helpful, in the sense of it was the first time that I really had somebody hear and listen to and help me identify my emotions, my pain, what was going on inside of me. But it had a limitation, which is it helped uncover it, but it didn't help resolve it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of left there seeing it and feeling it,
right,
but not knowing what to do with it.
Right. That raises an interesting question. Oftentimes people will ask me this: what's the difference between counseling, if there is one, and therapy?
Okay. Well,
do you describe those differently?
I can use them interchangeably, but yeah. I think there's a difference in that.
Yeah.
Counseling is the giving of wisdom, a giving of guidance.
Yeah.
I think therapy seeks to go for something deeper at a level of transformation in a person's life. And so if you think about a physical therapist,
yes, right,
somebody may give advice about the exercises to do, or they may help reform your physical injury.
Yep.
With some intensive, oftentimes painful activity.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
interesting. I relate to that easily. My wife right now was injured her foot back in December.
Uh-huh.
Everything has, quote, healed, right? But it's still very painful.
Uh-huh.
So the prescription is therapy.
Go to physical therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And in which case, she's not just getting advice about the exercises she needs to do, which would be good counsel.
Yeah.
But she's also having them work with her to do things that she may need help doing.
Okay. So personally, then, you're at that point, let's say, where, okay, somebody's listening, somebody's helped uncover where the woundedness is, the hurt is, the pain is.
Uh-huh.
Now what? What then?
Yeah, now what? And I think, honestly, if I'd only been relying on counseling, Margie and I may have gone different directions, even though that's not what either one of us wanted, but it seemed to be the direction. You know, if you lay out these issues that you're not resolving, where do you go with them?
All right.
And so it was at that point that the faith that I had had all along became important and pretty serious to me. And so I remember just going every night into my room and praying and saying, God, I need help. I need help. Holy Spirit, you know, God, in the scripture you say you give the Holy Spirit to anybody that asks. I need your Spirit to guide me, to lead me, to transform me.
Was Margie aware of your prayer effort at that time, do you think?
I don't think. That was one of the dividing places between us, is that that we weren't sharing intimately at a spiritual level. So that was pretty much my own activity at the time. You know, we may pray at meals or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But in terms of a deeper, intimate kind of heartfelt cry. But in fairness to her, too, that a lot of this pain was so difficult because it was causing trouble between us that I didn't want to burden her with what I was going through either. I didn't want to hurt her more.
So you saw those issues that you had brought forward from your own childhood and such into the relationship.
I didn't see it at the time, but that's what was happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I was blinded to that. I was focusing on how she wasn't loving me well and how this wasn't going well. But really,
see, I've never done that.
Yeah, nobody ever does that, right, Brian?
I never blame anybody else for my own problems.
Yeah. So it was at that point, that was part of the difficulty. I was blind to it. And the counseling was reinforcing it because now I'm getting in touch with my hurt and my anger. So again, very helpful, but not the answer ultimately.
And that answer came, well, initially began with this personal retreat, we'll say, that from your description was a nightly sort of thing, just
it was a nightly
getting in
thing.
Front of God and saying, help.
Yeah, and from that, he brought me into several experiences that were communal.
Mm.
He brought me to, in the beginning, he brought me to a marriage encounter back then, brought us to marriage encounter.
Right, I remember that.
Brought us into what was called a Life in the Spirit seminar.
Yeah.
But the really key thing that shifted was a retreat experience called Christ Renews His Parish.
Say it again.
Christ Renews His Parish.
Christ Renews His Parish. Okay. Yeah.
And it comes out of the Crescille, Tres Tíos movement. All that is, they're all interconnected.
Many in this community are familiar with Tres Tíos.
Yeah, I've been involved in Tres Tíos also here.
Marvelous. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Bob Schutz. He is founder of the John Paul II Healing Center here in Tallahassee. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dr. Bob Schutz, a good buddy, an able spokesperson on behalf of a number of communities, principally here today. We'll call it the Christian Counseling Therapeutic Community, but at large, the body of Christ, I think, engaged in this bewildering life that we live. How do we make sense in the modern world of a Christian, we'll call it Christian life, when we are beset with so many distractions and confusing ideas about what that means? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be able to express and apply and put out for those who are a part of our immediate lives that life that we say we are enjoying, we're walking out. And you know, how many of us have had that said to us? Well, you say you're a Christian. You're not acting like a Christian right now. Well, good point.
Yeah,
okay.
Good point.
So we're going to come back to this discussion we're having with Dr. Bob, my good buddy. And we left off with you talking a little bit about some of your walk, and you were on this weekend of renewal.
Yeah.
So let's pick up there.
Yeah, and it was one of those times in my life when I wasn't acting like a good Christian in the sense of loving my wife well. But I was hungry for it. I really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
I just was recognizing my poverty for maybe the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the necessity in the spiritual walk, is recognizing that. But in that desperation, we're asked on the weekend, I mean, you probably experienced something similar to this, of ask for two things, one thing on the weekend and one thing when you get home.
Yeah.
So I said, I want to know, Jesus, that you're real in a way that I've never known you. That was my prayer for the weekend. My prayer when I got home was, I want to love my wife like I've never been able to love her before.
Yeah.
And with shortcutting the story, I tell it in my book, but shortcutting the story, after a miserable 24 hours, I had a profound experience of, the way that I describe it is through the words of Jesus in Scripture, rivers of living water will flow up from your belly. I felt like this explosion of love inside of me. Didn't start up here in my mind. It started down here in the rear in
your
my gut.
Yeah.
Flowed up.
It was a physical
experience where it was being filled up from the inside out, and I felt like I was going to burst.
Wow.
I just felt like I was going to explode, and I started to laugh, and I started to cry. First time in 20 years I cried, and I cried the whole next day. And aside to that, my brother Bart was on that weekend. He had just been cut from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team. He had a profound experience, just changed both of our lives radically. When I came home, my kids were young teenagers. My wife was there. I was able to see her with new eyes. I was able to love her with a new heart. And not that we haven't had struggles since then, but it's changed from we're not going to make it to thank God you saved me from that precipice.
Right.
And so we began to build from that point. And as it related to my therapy, and you're familiar with this, we started a group of Christian therapists in town who began to say, how can we take what we've learned as therapists and incorporate what we've experienced personally and bring that in terms of helping people? And that was really one factor. Another factor was I started to receive lots of books on healing and began to get taught about healing. And then the third thing was being introduced to John Paul II, who at that time was Pope. He had been a world-class philosopher before he was Pope as a priest. And what I was amazed at is when he became Pope, he looked at the world and he says, what's the greatest problem right now that God is asking me to speak to? And he said, it's the breakdown of marriage and family. And so much of what he wrote was all in the area of marriage and family. And it was so clear as I read it, the truth of it, that it brought into correction all the places where I'd learned from a secular standpoint what was good for marriage and family. It just brought it into clarity. And the way I like to say it is like when you start a building, you have to have what they call a plumb line for the foundation. You have to know what true balance is and where the real true foundation is. And for me, studying him and what he was writing about marriage and family and rooting it all in Jesus Christ, what I had experienced and what I was learning now matched up.
Yeah, yeah. It speaks to me in this way, what I'm hearing you say, that as Christians, perhaps this could be said of those even who are not Christians, if you're issuing a prayer right now, and you're just throwing it out there, saying, maybe if there is a God, God is listening to me, and I'm saying this, make me more patient, make me more loving, make me more tender-hearted, or make me stronger, give me more faith, give me more strength to endure, whatever that prayer is, here's a remarkable observation that is not mine, that I'm learning from people like my friend here, Bob Schutz. The circumstances that come about are even more stressful, are even more faith challenging.
Yes.
The pressures may increase then, because what's happening is it's extracting from us the, we'll call it a kind of putrid poison that has been inside of me, right?
Yes.
And exposing then this woundedness in me. Folks, we need to have another couple of decades with this guy. But today's message is at its conclusion here, and so we're going to let Dr. Schutz move on. You've got some great things coming up, too. Tell us about the next book, the next conference. What's on your agenda?
A lot of things coming. Right now I'm working on a follow-up book called Be Holy with a W. So looking at...
Oh, you clever guy.
Yeah. Looking at how what we typically think of holiness separated from wholeness is not really holiness.
And so
to be able to look at that as an integration of in Jesus, who is whole and holy, all in one.
Very cool.
That our identity needs to be there.
Yeah.
And our wholeness and healing needs to be there.
Yeah.
And our holiness needs to be there. Because otherwise we become self-righteous, which, you know, we're all guilty of.
Indeed. Indeed.
So that's one of the things on the agenda right now I'm working on. And We have lots of different conferences, upcoming conferences in Tallahassee. We have two a year in Tallahassee that are larger conferences called Restoring the Glory.
Mm.
And it's looking at our identity as male and female and the ways in which our sexuality gets wounded, the ways in which we wound ourselves and others in that sexuality, the confusion we have in the culture with our sexual identity, and what the healing process looks like. So,
wow. Nothing timely about that.
Yeah. It's
timely and relevant.
There's
folks.
A relevance.
That's what's going on with this organization, John Paul II Healing Center. Bob Schutz, our guest today, the founder and author, a counselor, a guide, a therapist, somebody who, if you have opportunity to get to know, I certainly encourage you to do that. Blessings on you, my brother, and
Thank
your
you,
wife,
Brian.
And your children, and
Thank
your
you.
Grandchildren, and their children.
Thank you.
And so it is.
And on yours.
And folks, for your sake, let me refer you again to the website, which, if I have this correct, it's JPII, as in John Paul II, healingcenter.org. If you just search John Paul Healing Center or search Bob Schutz, and it's an unusual spelling. It looks like shucks, but it's really Schutz. It's S-C-H-U-C-H-T-S. Go to our website. I'll have it there for you, TallahasseeTalks.com. That's easier.
Thanks, Brian.
Bob, thanks for being with us.
Be
Folks,
in.
Stay with me. Coming up here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, celebrating our 10 years of broadcast history. We began many years ago over there at... with a WTSM radio. Many of you may not realize this. We are an independent producer of this here fine radio show. So it's always been our pleasure to find a local broadcaster that's interested in hosting the program. And glad you've been a part of it all this time. If you're new to the show, you can email us. This is a good helpful reminder. Go to topics at TallahasseeTalks.com and refer to a guest or a topic you'd like us to consider. Be happy to hear from you doing that. Always good to hear from you. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. I think we're even on LinkedIn, as a matter of fact. But whatever your favorite social media platform may be, we're glad that you have decided to follow along with us. And let me point out, too, that we wouldn't be able to bring all of this goodness to you without our friends at Moose Magnificat Radio, which, of course, has a lot of its own contribution to our welfare in bringing us local musicians, all of these local artists who themselves represent, I think, in fine fashion, the sound of Tallahassee. So if you're not familiar, make sure you've made that a part of your plan. Go to moosemagnificat.com, download the Moose app to your phone, or if you prefer, there's plenty of other apps like Radio Garden and TuneIn and Alexa. They're all available to you at your bidding, whatever your favorite thing may be. Well, from our history, we've had the good fortune of having people like Dr. Atira Charles with us. Dr. Robert Schutz. Bob Schutz was with us in the first hour. And today's show is really dedicated to our well-being, and especially those circumstances that bring about more strife and stress and anxieties and such. So we thought we'd bring to you a bit of refreshment on that particular area of life and those topics. Before we go to our conversation with Dr. Charles, let me give you a couple of announcements here. Tallahassee Police Department is conducting a proactive patrol to improve pedestrian and bicycle safety. Heavens, yes. So TPD is committed, it says right here, to ensuring the safety of pedestrians and bicyclists through education and visibility. Tallahassee is one of the top 15 cities in the state for traffic crashes resulting in serious or fatal injuries to pedestrians and bicyclists. Are you kidding me? That's a lot of, I mean, we're in the top 15. That is not a list we want to, no, we don't want to be there. Okay, so TPD is trying to get us all to think more clearly about, you know, right-of-ways and pedestrian and bicyclists' traffic. So this year, we've already had two pedestrians and two bicyclists that suffered fatal injuries in traffic crashes. So this is not good. Beginning November 1 through May of next year, TPD will conduct proactive patrols in predetermined areas through high visibility enforcement, HVE it's called, which is a detail to reduce the number of crashes in those particular areas. So HVE details are funded through a contract with the University of North Florida in partnership with the Florida Department of Transportation. So here's some simple tips from our friends there at TPD. Probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. If you're a driver, obey the speed limit. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, I mean, how old were you when you were realizing that you had to put the toilet seat down? I mean, come on. Never drive impaired and always watch for pedestrians and bicyclists. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, am I? I mean, I'm astounded with people who are insistent upon being the first one through the intersection and are absolutely infuriated with you if you choose to obey the speed limit. I mean, it's like you're ruining their life. And you see the hands flailing and, you know, oh, my God. Come on, Tallahassee, grow up. Bicyclists, you got to obey the traffic laws and you got to ride in the direction of the traffic. And use lights when riding at night. Okay, you're not doing that? Come on, man. I guess that goes for all of us. We need to think about what we're doing here, folks. Pedestrians, you got to cross roadways in the crosswalks. No jaywalking. And please, obey the pedestrian signals. I mean, is this not common sense? But I guess we have to say this, don't we? So the areas and days and times of this HVE details include Monroe Street from Balsam Terrace to Callaway Road, yeah. West Pensacola from Apple Yard to Flamingo Way, yeah, that's a bad area, I know it. West Tennessee Street from Tennessee Capitol Boulevard to Enole Drive, is that Enole or Enole? I'm sorry. So there are specific problem areas around town that they're going to be focused on. Hopefully we'll see a decline and we can get off that top 15 list very soon. Here's another announcement from our friends at City of. National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is happening today. And it's going on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at Tallahassee Police Department headquarters. That's on East 7th Avenue over there, 234 East 7th. It's an opportunity for those who have accumulated unwanted, unused, or expired prescription drugs that are over-the-counter medications to safely dispose of these items. Well, that's a good idea, right? We don't want to leave them sitting around, keep them out of the hands of kids and those who might otherwise abuse those drugs, right? So TPD is partnering with DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, to make this day a success for the community. So there's your helpful information from the City of Tallahassee and yours truly here at Tallahassee Talks. With one final note as we continue on with the show, it happens that when we look around town, we look at the way in which we are growing as a community. the infrastructure, you know, the roadways and such, the buildings that are going up, the housing that's being built. My challenge to us all is that we maintain this sort of vigilance about growing up beyond our physical appearance and beyond the structural aspects of our community, and look at how we can grow together in the sharing of ideas and information, in the sharing of our cultural heritage. And there's plenty of opportunities for us to do that. And one of those ways is to reach out to each other through various means. I mean, we've got all the technical opportunities here, whether it's social media or email. How about showing up at someone else's event that is a direct competition with your event? Maybe they're part of a group that you're, you know, not a part of. Well, there you go. That's when you decide to step over the line, get off of your own little plantation, and find a way to connect with someone who you might not otherwise know. What do you think?
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
We're back, and I'm glad that you've stayed with me, because you're about to participate in what turned out to be a remarkably poignant conversation from now 6 years ago. Let's listen, Dr. Atira Charles.
So once we have that stillness moment, and once we reflect, we then have to be honest, right? And this is the most difficult part of the process, because I always say we have to hold up the metaphorical mirror and look in and be okay with what we see and understand that if we see some blemishes or if we see some challenges or if we see some things that don't make us feel good, we have to still value that information and that message the same way that we value the things that make us feel good about ourselves. And that's honestly the process of vulnerability that is the most difficult.
And why is that most difficult, do you think?
So psychological theory will say that as humans, we have a hedonistic quality, right? We like to feel good. We like to do things that make us feel good. We like to do things that make us believe that we are good, right? And then ego gets involved there as well. And not ego in the layman's term, negative, you know, view, but just our concept of self, you know,
and protecting
and
self.
And so by being, by not being vulnerable and not being transparent, that's actually self-protective, but it's self-protective to a fault.
Right.
Right.
So those things that we might say are sort of natural for us
can
really keep us from.
We're battling a psychological
life.
Tendency. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And in battling a psychological tendency or even a behavioral tendency, That's difficult, because now what we're really talking about is almost rewriting our code.
And
right?
That must be even more difficult for those who have been traumatized, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because when even if someone lives a life that has more high times than low times, life is rough and tough, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about having more valleys than peaks, there's more to deal with there, right? Mm. And that's where that comes
from. I was reading a Facebook post from a friend who said that her husband hadn't spoken to his mother in over 35 years,
wow,
kind of thing. And didn't want to have any relationship with her, mm-hmm. and she was reporting this to us, which in and of itself is sort of curious to me, that we will reveal the most intimate details to our lives to people that we don't know.
Right.
But if someone were to walk up to us on the street and ask us those kinds of intimate questions, we'd be offended.
Right. Well, it's because no matter what, if we have a set of emotions that is building up and brewing, it's going to come out, right? Mm-hmm. We only have a certain human capacity, right?
So she took the opportunity to tell us about this. I'm not sure he was in on that.
I was going to say, I'm not sure how he felt about it, but, you know.
She did report.
It was cathartic for her, I guess.
the point of her posting was that he'd made this effort to make a phone call to his mother, mm-hmm. and left her a voicemail message.
Wow.
So she said, okay, it's a start. And some folks, of course, were chiming in about, hey, that's great and all. And it reminded me of this idea that resentment is the poison you drink to yourself to try to get even with somebody else.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You know, so if I allow bitterness or unforgiveness to remain, then this ability to be less inhibited, to be more vulnerable, to open up and experience gratitude,
right,
becomes even more difficult, right?
And one of the challenges with vulnerability, one of the things we have to become aware of, is there's always going to be a peanut gallery that has an opinion, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to become better filters of the peanut galleries in our lives as well. And when we think about social media creates this...
There's a lot of nuts out there.
Well, social media creates this false sense of community or interaction sometimes, right? Yeah. So I love Facebook. I love Instagram. I love to be able to share pictures, share stories, have people engage in my life that just by time, space, and location don't have a front row view, right? It allows me to build relationships with people that just time and space has created, you know, distance with. Yeah. So I do believe that there's strong value, and I'm pro social media, but it's like anything has another side, right?
Yeah.
I think that social media for some allows people to live in this insulated space internally, but kind of create this facade of external interaction. Mm. And that can be dangerous because it can almost become a little bit delusional.
Honestly, I don't see there, I agree with that. And I don't see that being much different than what we often will do when we go to some group that we're a part of, but we never really get honest with that group. It could be a Sunday morning, it could be a Wednesday night group, or whatever we're doing, maybe the people at work. We just don't get honest, do we?
Yeah.
Remove the mask, I think you might say.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I have a new project that I'm working on called The Mask Project, which talks about the emotional and psychological masks that we wear every day in our personal life and in our work lives. Mm-hmm. And I like to use the hashtag unmasked, right? Mm-hmm. UNMASKED, because we have to take the masks off at some point, right? Mm-hmm. So masks can be, the metaphorical mask, I'll call it, can be protective, right? Mm-hmm. It can also insulate us, but it can also be strategic. Right. So a lot of times we think about a mask as a negative thing. Oh, you're covering, you're hiding. Oh, you're shamed. No, not necessarily. I may just be aware enough to reflect and realize that in this moment, in this situation, in this circumstance, I need to wear it. But one of the challenges is that people can sometimes get so used to the rat race of wearing all of these different masks that they don't have the moments to take it off and reflect and kind of get back in touch with their core authentic self.
And would you say too that in being that way and in being in touch with your core self, if you have at least one other or maybe a core group that knows that core, that knows that real you,
right?
That's helpful, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Research will support, and even anecdotally, social support systems matter. But you have to make sure that the sources of your social support are authentic as well and can interact with you in that transparent and in that vulnerable way, because it's an exchange. If I share everything with you, but then you don't share anything with me, in our next interaction, I'm going to be more guarded. But if I share with you and then you share with me, now there's trust that's built. Right. And understand that we have an equal vested interest in this vulnerability exchange.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Dr. Atira Charles and having a great conversation here about those things that you and I do with our own lives and with those around us who are, we'll say, our intimate others, our significant others, how well we can embrace the idea of being grateful, so allowing gratitude to work within us, bring us past those masks that we sometimes wear for good reason, but allow us to have that sort of genuine intimacy with the people who matter most.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're listening to a conversation with Atira Charles, professor at Florida A&M, recorded some many years ago now, back in 2014. And if you've just joined us, don't worry, you'll want to stay tuned, because there's a whole lot more that this woman has to share with us about overcoming fear, dealing with anxieties, dealing with the kinds of stresses that we experience, you know, in everyday circumstances. And certainly on this occasion, when we are trying to step back just a bit, step away from the fray of this onslaught that has been thrust upon us, we can take pause, we can take stock of what has been done for us and who we really are. And so as we celebrate Easter in the acknowledgement of and the declaration of Christ overcoming death. Well, here we have a kind of dying to the things that we've held on to, that we've put our trust in, our hopes for, whether it's health, employment, income, even relationships that may be stressed out at this point. I mean, we have been kind of locked up with each other for an extended period of time. You know, my dog is just really not very happy with me right now, and my cat won't even talk to me anymore, so forget about it. Well, Dr. Charles has some advice for me and for you. An interesting point of departure in which she identifies us best able to apply this truth in a moment of silence, getting real quiet, you know, settle down. The scripture says, be still and know that I am God. So this idea of just quieting ourselves, how do you do that? Well, it wouldn't hurt to turn off the news for a little while. You know, close up your Facebook page. In fact, just put your phone in a drawer somewhere. You know, wherever you can go, whatever you need to do to get alone, to get quiet, that's a good start. And Dr. Charles will do her part in helping us walk further down that path as we listen to her here in this next segment. And what's remarkable to me is that that quietness is then the kind of foundation for everything else that follows. It's a remarkable process. Let's take a listen.
The way I think about it, I was raised in a family where I knew from a very young age that God mattered and God controlled things in my life. And so through life, you know, of course, there's different religious views and values and beliefs that we all share around the world.
Right.
But for me, understanding that God matters, that God influences my life, that gratitude matters, and that there are good things to do in the world and bad things to do in the world, and that I err on the side of good, right?
Why does gratitude matter?
So for me in my life, gratitude has been directly connected to all of the blessings that I've received. You know, some of my friends make a joke and say, Tira, you have a charmed life. You know, things just kind of happen for you. They kind of work out. And I don't believe that it is random. I believe that God has a vision for my life. And I'm glad that my parents were able to instill in me an awareness, right, of that connection to be able to walk in a way that aligns with what I believe to be that vision and purpose. Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing. The clarity I'm speaking about that with now, of course, is not the clarity that I've had through life. But at this point now, I have more clarity in the fact that God has me here to utilize my voice to help people understand themselves. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's transformative, not just for people, but for me as a person, because no matter whether I'm teaching in a classroom or I'm speaking at an event or I'm at a boardroom at a corporation, I'm able to utilize my voice and my thoughts to transform and change for the good. Mm-hmm. And that feels great.
And when you see those changes happening, is it often that people will say back to you, man, this is working. This is changing my life.
Here. And honestly, that's the feedback that has allowed me to have the clarity. Uh-huh. Because for a long time it was, oh, I just went and got my PhD in organizational behavior. And yeah, I'm kind of intuitive and I give good advice, right? I would minimize it down just kind of what I do on a day to day. But I'm much more strategic and clear about the fact that that's the gift I have and that I need to use it purposefully.
So your message then to me is, Brian, find where it is that you are gifted and go with it.
Exactly. And the universe, people, society, the environment, the social landscape, whatever language we want to use, communicates back to us. But in order for us to get the message, we have to have our ears open, right? Or even our hearts open or our minds open.
Okay, now that's key, because so many times when I try to share with folks, their ears aren't open, right?
Right.
How does a person come to that? What opens us up to be able to receive that information?
So the first thing that opens us up is taking the moment to be still, right? Mm-hmm. We have to.
And that's a choice.
Right, exactly. We have to just stop sometimes, be still, and have that self-talk and say, self, what do I need to become aware of right now? Mm-hmm. Do I need to become aware of aspects of myself? Do I need to become aware of things that are going on in my environment? And that level of awareness allows us to then reflect and strategize, right, on what direction and what steps we're interested in taking.
Okay. So once I've done that, and that sounds like it's not a retreat somewhere in
Tibet. Oh, my gosh, no.
That's
it's just a daily. It's a daily thing. I always tell when I'm doing speaking events, I said, you know what? It always feels good in this one-hour session, right? Mm-hmm. Or we can even say in this one-hour radio show. Mm-hmm. It feels good. I heard it. I feel pumped up. I feel empowered. And then we just keep moving on with the rat race. Mm-hmm. What we have to do is schedule time into our day to have these reflective self moments, mm-hmm. whether that is when you first wake up in the morning, whether it's what I like to call pillow talk, when you're just laying there by yourself before you fall asleep, whether it's that random moment that you're sitting in the car at lunchtime, right? You have to just take the moment to decompress and be able to hear, right? And you can hear others, you can hear yourself.
So if we're not doing that, then we're going to run back to get pumped up again.
Right.
So I think that's why a lot of people go to church, because they have their weekly fix where they get kind of inspired and pumped up, and then they just go back to the next 6 days of,
Well, what I always like to say is that aside from the fact that it's not a destination and it's a journey and a process, we have to be very clear about the fact that sometimes we need help, right? So this process of self-awareness and self-reflection and self-knowledge, it's not easy on your own, right? So prompting helps. That's why when we read certain books, it helps guide us. When we go to church, it helps guide us. When we go to classes, right, it helps to guide us. When we just have coffee with our friends at lunchtime, right, it helps to guide us and think through certain aspects of things that make us go,
Okay, it can be helpful to have that support, but unless we are willing
to do it outside, exactly,
there's no chance.
We have to have an active role in
it's
it.
Not
if
stick.
Only it's an external prompt that makes you think about that, that's the challenge, right? So we have to become better monitors of ourselves to stop and do it ourselves, sometimes.
Okay, so we started out by saying that gratitude is a very powerful thing in our lives.
Exactly.
To know that experience or to experience the benefit of gratitude, you're saying the first thing you have to do is get quiet.
Get quiet.
And listen.
Right. Because a lot of times people think that God isn't working in their life, that their own individual efforts are not paying off with rewards. But sometimes we have to have those moments of still to even see, oh, wow. It was here, and I just didn't see it. It was said and communicated. I just didn't hear it, you know, and that's where that comes in.
And there's so many references to that in history, even in scripture, where you see people who come to an awareness, and it was there in front of them all the time.
It was there in front of them all the time.
The circumstances as such are beyond any one individual's ability to control the general outcome. And that part of it is what is probably more disturbing to us than anything else, the sense of being out of control. Well, guess what? What we've been learning here from Atira Charles is that the stuff that's really, really important in our lives that we are in control of, that we can control within our grasp, that's where we need to focus. That's where we can overcome the anxieties. Folks, stay with me. I've got one more segment with Dr. Charles. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the final segment of today's broadcast with all of this being presented to you with our deepest, most hopeful anticipation that you're going to find encouragement and refreshment, inspiration as we celebrate this Easter weekend together. Remember now, tomorrow, Moose Magnificat, the entire day, will be broadcasting Easter news of good tidings of great joy and scripture readings and music back to back for the entire day from 6 in the morning until midnight. You can tune in to moosemagnificat.com. And these are all local musicians, by the way, bringing you songs of inspiration and worship and all. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for that. Well, at the moment, I want to bring us back to this conversation we're having with Dr. Atira Charles as we talk further about the business of realizing faith in actual terms, how it gets acted out in everyday circumstances. Let's listen.
The work that I do related to identity and self-awareness and how we manage that in our personal and especially our professional lives is something that I'm working on now. And so I'm working on the details and the content. But yes, the goal is to have it as an audio book.
Yeah. Well, we had Dr. Cirio on earlier in the show today and actually pulled a segment of another conversation we'd had with him focused on this question about the Ebola virus. And the reason I did that, particularly for today's show, is to put that in the context of what you and I are talking about, whereby we find ourselves beset with all kinds of fear and anxieties and stresses, whether they're workplace-related. Think about this. When I was a young man, I never thought if I go to work today, I could get shot.
Right.
Or somebody might go off and decide to come in and start killing people,
right,
whether at my school or my place of work. And when I think about what you shared with us in the first hour, talking about this isolation, there's no oxygen getting to me, right? So I just sort of implode. I mean, I think about this 14-year-old up there in the Seattle area.
So sad.
That's my hometown. I know those people up there. I mean, you might as well have set off an atomic bomb.
And here's the interesting thing with that story. All of the anecdotes about the child are that he was a popular kid, a friendly kid. Everybody loved him, right? So when we think about wearing a mask, right? Paul Laurence Dunbar has a poem that I love that motivates a lot of the work that I do. And the beginning of the poem is, we wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. You know, and people are not always aware or privy to what's going on the inside, which is why it's important for all of us to at least have those self-reflective moments so that we can more accurately communicate to the people in our world, I'm afraid, I'm ashamed, I have fear, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm mad. And I think it's imperative that we do that as adults, because we have to teach our children to do so.
That it's okay.
That it's okay, because we're in a society where image matters so much, and presentation of self does not have to be authentic, right? Just kind of connecting to media and entertainment
and
things of that
and
nature.
And the outcry that has come about with Jameis Winston, to me, illustrates how sensitive that whole presentation of self is when we idolize somebody who, after all, is flesh and blood. But, oh, wait a minute, Brian. He's our star quarterback. Right. He has to live at a different standard.
And here's the challenge with that, right? We have these expectations of others, but are unclear on the expectations we set for ourselves. And I think we have a tendency to, and it's a self-serving bias, right? I mean, research supports this, that we have a tendency to attribute failures to others and successes to ourselves. But the challenge with that, just kind of keeping it with the youth conversation, because at the end of the day, he's a star quarterback, but he is a young man who was a teenager when he came into everybody's lives. The expectation that he has gone through a process of self-reflection and proper impression management is unfair, because for those
unrealistic,
it's unfair if he has not been given those tools, because the reality is most people have not been given those tools. There's just a different lens and microscope on him, and that's not to minimize any of some of the behaviors that he should be managing more effectively,
right?
But at the end of the day, he is a young man that is finding himself under the microscope and scrutiny of the world,
well,
and that's not easy.
It, to me, it supports your observation with the 14-year-old kid who decides to take aim, right?
Right.
What was it that was so fractured? There was this sort of schism, this outward self that is presented. That's the one we want to see. That's
exactly
the one we're going to reward. Oh, you can
throw, because that's also the one that makes us feel good about ourselves.
There you go.
Right.
And so I dare say that when Mr. Winston was being recruited for his current occupation, I would be shocked to find out that anybody sat him down and said, well, now let's talk about you. You know, let's find out what you value in life and how honest are you with yourself and what masks do you wear? No, they found out that this guy was an amazing football player. That's where they put their marker. That's what they said they wanted. They got that.
Right.
And I even said to Lynn Wicker, she was on the show here a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, he went out and did exactly what we asked him to do. Win a frickin' championship. And he, you know, and he's over here acting out. And those are undesirable behaviors. And you've said it's not about the behavior. It's about what are we doing to support this guy and walk with him and get him through this.
And not just him, right?
Our
community as a whole.
Yeah.
Our community as a whole. Because all of us have thoughts and all of us have behaviors and emotions that we don't share with the world, right? Everybody has something that needs some management.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to be very careful of our level of being critical of others without being compassionate about their experience and their lived experience.
And see, to me, that's the level of hypocrisy that comes into play.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, because we didn't run this guy through a personality inventory and decide, you know what, even though this guy can throw a football like there's no tomorrow, we're just not interested. No, he said, are you kidding?
But this guy will make us a
ton of cash. You know?
Right. People are also uncomfortable with having the conversation, period, right? Yeah. Because if people aren't able to have the conversation with themselves, how can they be stewards of the conversation with others, you know? And that's why in the classroom, I mean, my students always say, you know, Dr. C, you're always standing on some box telling us about something about ourselves. This isn't in the chapter. And I say, you're right. It's not in the chapter, but it's in your life. Right?
You are the chapter.
Exactly. And I tell them, I said, I could care less if you retain 5 out of 7 versus 7 out of 7 concepts. But if you understand this life lesson that we are talking about right now, you will be better off for it.
Folks, I hope that you have enjoyed today's broadcast and tell you that it is remarkably satisfying for all of us to think that there's even one person, maybe it's you listening right now, and you have found in this show today something of encouragement, some insight, a refreshment, a reaffirmation of the things that you know in your heart are really true. Thanks for being with me today. You know that we're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. You can find Moose Magnificat online, moosemagnificat.com, streaming radio to the world, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee, all local musicians playing their original songs. That is the work of Moose Magnificat. Our executive producer is the very talented, very loyal, and devoted Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.